Good morning, world, wherever you are today. May God bless you and strengthen you. Thank you for joining us today here at Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. We are gathered in the house of the Lord. Wherever you are today, never give up. We have Simon Pinchbeck, and obviously I'm with him too, because it's Hashtag Christian Straight Talk, wherever you are.
Yeah, it's Hashtag Christian Straight Talk. We're back on the mics, Ben, and
we're ready to rumble.
We are looking down the barrel of the truth today.
Come on, Simon.
There's stuff we've been talking about in the preamble before, we're going to hit the ground running today, aren't we?
Because
we're continuing, Ben, the subject of fear, and we're going to entitle today's...
Fear is not a liar.
Fear is
a liar. It's not a liar.
Fear is a liar, mate.
Fear is a liar.
Yeah, fear is a liar. And, Ben...
it's tough, isn't it?
It's tough out there. Feeling it. It's been, both of us have had a tough week this week.
We've had a heavy week. Heavy week.
The Bible says the enemy will come in like a flood. And if you're facing that, if you're listening to this and you're facing that out there, then we know exactly where you're at, because both of us have been in
the arena.
Up to the neck in it this
week. But God is with us. So what Simon is saying, it is really, really important. Remember, God is with you wherever you are. Never give up. You know, you might be in the arena. You might have the enemy surrounding you on all sides, but God is with you. If God is for us, who can be against us?
Ben, that's so true. Hold on. Hold the line. Psalm 93 tells us that the Lord is girded up.
Come on.
And he's standing right next to you. He knows what you're going through. He's not going to let you go through the rivers, the fires. He's not going to, without him being there.
He's got us. He has got us.
He's got us.
So the devil is the father of lies, and he uses that word fear, and he uses what the world is doing to try and trap us from standing up in our faith.
And we are, you know, we've discussed it, and I think, you know, you've got to be living on planet Zog to not to realise we are in the last days, and the end of the last days, really.
What does Jesus say? He says, look out for the signs, look out for the flag moments, the trigger points.
Yeah, the red flags, yeah.
Governments, weather systems, one world order, you know, save the planet.
Lovers of self,
pride,
it's
arrogance.
It's all there, and it's all there, Ben.
The great falling away.
It's all there.
Gluing yourself to the M25, trying to stop the traffic, save the planet. Oh, dear me.
It's all there.
It's all there, isn't it?
So we know that, don't we? So
it's written.
We know, and the enemy says he's going to come in like a flood and use fear as his biggest weapon.
I think also
against not only the elected, but obviously against everyone. And even it says in these days, even the elected.
Yeah, even the elect.
Deceived.
Yeah.
And run for fear. Mm. There's a shaking, Ben.
There's a shaking, and he uses confusion. Confusion, when you are confused, you know what it's like when you're confused, when anxiety comes in, and because when fear actually hits the mind and hits the concept, and when fear makes you say things, fear makes you live different, fear makes you act different, fear makes you especially talk very different. Because when I talk in a fearful way, I'm worshipping Lucifer, because that's what he wants. Literally, he wants to be worshipped, and we worship him by fear.
Well, you said it last week, didn't you? You said the battle is of the mind, and it is definitely of the mind. And what happens when fear comes, and to where do we put our trust? You know, so people who haven't got the Lord in their life will run back to the things they trust, or wrap themselves around the things that they trust. And sometimes even people with the Lord, even Christians, will run back to the old way, as we've seen with the Israelites wanting to go back to Egypt.
Yeah.
But the Lord says no. 365 times in the Bible, he says, do not be afraid.
That's brilliant. That's so powerful, isn't it?
Do not be afraid. And today we're going to look at the fear of a couple of things if we get time, the fear of rejection and the fear of dying. But we're going to look at also the fear of man, because fear of man Ben, that leads into the fear of rejection. And a couple of things have come by me this week. There's a great footballer, a Brazilian footballer called Neymar. He plays for Paris Saint-Germain, which is owned by Arabs. And he has been very vocal about his faith in Jesus. He gives a lot of money back to his church back in Brazil. But they're offering him, now I don't know whether he's accepted this or what, I don't know any more than this, but all I know is that they're offering him about 500 euros, which is about £460,000. So 500,000 euros, £460,000 a month. Not to mention his faith, not to mention Jesus in any of the interviews.
It's interesting, isn't it? What we see in the New Testament when Judas, 30 pieces of silver, we've got to rid Jesus. It's very real today. You know, the others in other faiths do not want Christ to be mentioned.
And that's interesting, isn't it?
It's really interesting, isn't it? Why don't you want someone to talk about Jesus? What is it about this Jesus that you do not want people to know about?
So for many years, especially American, who I've seen, have been, and South African, have been very outspoken about their faith.
Yeah.
So the first sportsman I'm talking about, so the first thing the interviewer will say, that was a great game or a great fight you had today, and the guy will say, well, I want to just thank my Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Now there's... There's a press coming in now saying people don't want to. You don't mention Jesus in your interview.
You can, isn't it madness? You can talk about anything else you want to talk about, and society and culture will help you to talk about that and engage in that. As soon as you bring Jesus Christ into the conversation, the devil don't want to talk about him.
And
why? Because
I talk about. No, you're right. And I was looking. I saw this the other week in the Saturday Mail, and there's a guy called Dan Walker who's known in Christian circles to be a Christian. And Dan Walker is a BBC presenter on the breakfast show. He's also does a bit on Football Focus.
Mm-hmm.
They did his life in pictures on the back, on the back page of this magazine. Not one mention of his faith.
No, the media.
Not one mention of his faith.
No, the media will never ever want you to promote Jesus Christ. The media, the medium is driven by Lucifer. It will only drive what it wants you to hear.
So
it controls the airways.
And
that is scriptural.
You know, Dan, he seems a nice fella. And he was been on the breakfast show with a lady called Louise Minchin for years. And she did amazing things on triathlons and amazing marathons. Yeah. And all that got publicised. But never once did he mention, when I was at church yesterday. He never mentioned that at all.
Not allowed. Not allowed to mention Jesus.
And there's another fella, Simon Thomas. I've seen him at the big Christian men's thing a couple of years on the trot, and you know, sadly his wife died. But he was interviewed all over the place back in 2018, 2019. Never mentioned his faith once. I've heard him give his testimony.
Yeah,
you know, but he never mentioned his faith at all
because the medium is a spiritual entity that is driven by Lucifer.
The media, yeah, the mainstream media is driven by the enemy.
It's driven because they just want to drop into our ear gate what they want us to be living like and what they want us to be fearful of, what they drive.
So you could class that, and I think I'd class it as fear of man.
Fear of man.
Fear
control.
Of man.
So that we enter into an area of manipulation and control.
Yeah.
And... A big push. It's a real big push. It's like an occult world. When you look at the media, it's like an occult world. It is Lucifer at the top. When you never hear on the mainstream news anything happening about Christians in Afghanistan. You won't hear that. You won't hear that beating the drum. You'll hear everything else. You won't hear about Christians dying and being shot. You won't hear that, but everything else. So it's very clear to see that the mainstream media is not for Jesus Christ.
Totally. It's totally not. He's not... He doesn't run it. The Christians are not in there. You know, you get now Songs of Praise, which is about the only...
Songs of Lucifer.
It's about the nearest thing for Christianity. And I've done a couple of things on Songs of Praise. And, you know, you get like a 5-minute slot, don't you? And, yeah, that's about it. But fear of man, Ben. And it's interesting that God, in the Bible.
Hang on. a Bible. Has the church got Bibles? Has ministries got Bibles? What are they giving out? Are they giving out Bibles or are they giving out their own literature? Bibles.
Well, I think that's a story for another day, isn't it?
Because, yeah, true. Come on. Trying to be a good boy today.
Yeah. We love the Gideons, don't we?
We love them. The Gideons, give the Bible out.
All they want to do is give out the Bible. The word of God.
What a powerful ministry.
You just don't giving find them giving out
their
this
own
track
stuff.
Or that track.
No.
Nameless and faithless, all for God's glory. But there's so much in the Bible about not being afraid, but so much in the Bible too about don't be afraid of the fear of man. Things like Psalm 56:11 says, "In God I have put my trust; I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?
What can mere mortals do to me? Am I going to trust in chariots and horses? What can mere man do to me?"
And Proverbs 29:25 tells us, Ben, the fear of man is a snare. It's a snare.
Yeah.
Which is a trap. And it'll take you, for you into, as you quite rightly said, into the enemy's plan.
Into the camp of the enemy.
Whoever trusts in the Lord will be saved.
Exactly. Salvation. So now we're talking about real freedom. Real freedom. Now, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "For as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and in your sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world, rather, it says, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient." So it's really, really interesting to understand that I can only be for Christ or for Lucifer. I can't be in any other camp. It's either one or the other.
You can't sit on the fence.
I can't sit on the fence. No, I mean,
the enemy owns the fence, Ben. We've said that.
He actually does. He's charging me rent on the fence, actually. You know, it's really important that the ruler of the kingdom of the air, Lucifer, he's driving so much. And he's dressed up in a fine suit. He's dressed up in blonde hair. He's dressed up in all types of ways that he uses to mask himself, to use the vehicle of a human being to use and to get his spiritual work done. He drives controllers, narcissistic controllers. Now, we're not just talking about outside in the world, because we see this in certain ministries and we see this in certain churches where they are driven by a leader that is all for himself.
Ben, what does it say in Matthew 10:28? It says, "Don't fear those who have killed a body."
Yeah.
Don't fear them who have killed a body in whatever way, shape or form, but fear him who can destroy both body and soul in hell.
Hallelujah. It's about salvation, isn't it?
It's about salvation.
Are you saved?
And it's what we've been saying, Ben, week after week after week on this podcast. Mm. When you give yourself to Jesus,
yes,
you become the property of Jesus, don't you?
You are owned. You are owned. But
don't go running back to man. You're owned by Jesus, and he will look after you. He's standing by your side. He'll lead you to the Father, and you'll have you will have all that protection that the Bible tells you. But what did we say right from the beginning? The core of fear is unbelief. So if you're not believing these scriptures that we've read out today, if you don't believe that there's a God that will deliver you, if you don't believe there's a God that will look after you, if you don't believe that Jesus has saved you, I'm afraid you're going to slip back and you're going into unbelief, which is akin to witchcraft, the Bible says.
Most definitely. So you've mentioned something earlier about a father, and we know that we have a heavenly father. So we know that we have an earthly father, but also what's great in John 8 verse 44, he says, you belong to the father, the devil.
Your father, the devil, yeah.
Your father, the devil.
The father of lies.
The father of lies. So it's made very clear, isn't it, that there's two fathers. Our father who aren't in heaven. And then also, John makes it very clear that the father, so the... If you understand what a father is and what a father represents and what a father does, he controls, but he controls not with the hand of fear, but the enemy controls with fear. So he is the father of lies. And he says, you carry out the father's desires. So, right, okay. I'm born again, filled with the Spirit. It doesn't mean to say that I'm removed from the temptation of what is going on. I have a choice to choose.
You've got a choice.
So there are two fathers.
There's two fathers. One.
There is a lesser father, and there is only the father.
So the lesser father, it rules by fear,
yeah,
control, and
yeah,
manipulation.
Exactly.
But our Father in heaven
rules by truth.
Truth.
Love.
Freedom and forgiveness.
Amen. He is the King
what
of Kings.
There ain't no choices there. You haven't got a choice. You know,
yeah,
it's so easy to choose. But in the human mindset, we keep getting dragged back into
by the father of lies.
By the father of lies.
So if I look at the world of politics, if I look at the world of manipulation, if I look at the world of the occult, if I look at the world of everything at the moment, there is no truth in the world. It is run by lies. But Jesus says, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free.
One good thing, exactly, 100%. I mean,
the father of truth,
yeah,
and there's a father of lies.
And the truth sets you free. And the truth not only sets you free, it opens your eyes, doesn't it?
And
it
that,
opens your eyes
and
to
having
what's
your
going on.
Eyes opened and having scales lifted off your eyes opens up another area where we need to be steadfast in the word, because as Christ reveals the vision, as he opens our eyes that we see more clearly and that we see like Christ and we be more Christ-like, we start to realize that the father of lies is in everything. And we need to be very careful that we don't get drawn in by what? By manipulation and control, and get drawn in by fear.
Well, that's true. So what do we do? Like we've always
said, I've got to go deeper in the word.
100%.
It's the only way, isn't it, Simon?
Your feet have got to be firmly established in the word. And I would suggest to you out there, you know, for years and years and years, we've just accepted pretty
much... Rolled over, sorry.
What the mainstream media has fed us.
Yeah.
We've believed what's in the papers. We've believed what the BBC tells us on the news.
Yeah.
We've believed that stuff because we've trusted.
Yeah.
Now, all that is gone. The trust is gone. So I would say question.
Where's truth? Where is the truth?
Everything. Watch out for the lies that come. Because these politicians, as soon as they open their mouth, they lie. And none of it
fits
in with the scripture.
It changes like the wind.
If you're being told to do something, check it with scripture. Is it scriptural?
What does Jesus say? Don't go to the church because the church is manipulated and controlled by the government. The church in this nation that says that they are the church of this nation is controlled by the government.
Listen, what I'd suggest...
You have to get in the word of God.
Like Ben says... If you're uncomfortable in your church with what your church leader's saying, A, question it.
Mm.
Stand up. Speak out. Question it. If you're still unhappy, then maybe it's time for you to think about going to somewhere else where the message is
about the blood.
In line with the scriptures.
Am I saved? The rapture. End times. The birth. The death of Christ Jesus.
Repentance,
sin.
And the true gospel message. That is what the truth is.
So I've got to be careful of coming under a denomination or a ministry that is all about I ministry, rather than about him ministry.
You've got to be very careful of and what...
So,
and if you're in a denomination that's going with the flow, if you're in a denomination which is... Like we've said before, if you know where the salmon's swimming with the flow instead of against the flow, then it's time. I'm not going to tell you to leave, and Ben's not going to tell you, but it's time to question.
It's time to question
everything. What I say is question every single thing.
Actually, I'd actually put myself on the line with that one. If you're under a denomination that is not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, I think you should leave, because when you get to heaven, them leaders of that denomination are not going to be standing next to you. There's only going to be one, the judge, isn't it?
Well, that's the truth, Ben, but it takes a strong man or woman to stand up and question. So question.
Question the leadership.
Question the leadership. And they may go, you're right. Or they may go, well, I don't care what you think. This is what we're doing.
It's our ministry.
And then you've got a choice to make. And then you've got a decision to make.
Yeah.
Ben's right. You know, if you're continually in a church or a denomination that's banging the wrong drum, question it, but you know,
this is serious stuff, isn't it?
Because it's your salvation, it's your faith, it's what you're taking in, it's what you're building your faith on. If it's not building on the Word of God and the true gospel,
I'm building on lies. I'm building on lies. It's like the name it and claim it. Building on lies. Building on falsehood. Building on false fathers. Building on stuff that isn't sound doctrine. This is quite a deep discussion today, and I've got to make sure that I'm not coming under the father of lies. You belong to your father, the devil, it says there in John 8 verse 44, and he says you want to carry out your father's desires.
A little bit before that, he says, in John 10, a little bit after that, sorry, John 10:10, he says, the devil comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. So he's three not things. Coming to build you up. He's not coming
to tear you down.
And he will use you and then discard you like a Kleenex tissue.
But John doesn't mess around, does he? He does, he tear you up. Yeah. John doesn't mess around in that text, John 8:44, and he says he was a murderer from the beginning. Well, look, not holding on to truth, Simon.
Now, you may overlook that, or many people may overlook that, but that murderer, let's look at that, Ben, very quick, because we don't want to get distracted, because this is another podcast, it could be, but what it means is that he wants to destroy everything that God has created. Yeah. So he wants to destroy
you.
And even if you're the biggest worshipper of Satan, he still wants to kill you, destroy you, and use you.
Because
you're a human being. You're God's creation. Right. And while you're living, there's always a chance.
There's always a chance.
That you'll turn back to God.
Yes.
And his biggest fear is that you'll start praising and worshipping God.
Come on, Lord.
And not him.
Him. It says there very clearly in the Gospel of John, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So when lies come in, it brings confusion. Confusion brings fear. Fear makes me react very different to how the Gospel wants me to react. So I've got to be steadfast in the word. But just because we are believers, and whoever you are in Christ and whatever culture, doesn't remove us from the fact that fear and faith run very close together.
Very close together. And be aware that his truth, the enemy's truth, very, very similar to it's only a 1.5 degree out.
Yeah, and that comes down to doctrine, doesn't it?
It comes down to doctrine.
You're coming back to religion and the big brush of church that across this big platform that's out there that through everything that's going on, I've got to make sure that I'm coming under the sound gospel of Jesus Christ. I've got to make sure that I know that my Redeemer lives, because if I'm listening to lies, it drives me to a place of doubt. It drives me to a place of unbelief. It drives me all to them places. Now, just because we might be blood washed and sanctified doesn't mean to say that I won't have a moment of going, oh Lord, I'm worried today. I'm worried. But we're saying, Lord, I'm worried. We're not captured in the father of lies.
It's who you turn to.
Who do I turn to in a crisis?
In a fear. And if your first thought is to the kingdom, and you seek him first the kingdom, then everything else will fall into place. And
yeah.
And the Father clearly says, the God clearly says throughout, you know, he doesn't say, do not be afraid.
Yeah. Fear is a liar.
Ben, do you think Moses was afraid? Do you think Nehemiah was afraid? Oh, yeah. Do you think Paul was afraid? They were all afraid. These people had fear. They didn't. Mm. There was not one of them was totally fearless.
Yeah.
They were fearless in what they did, but they weren't fearless. But they did it with the fear because they knew they had the might of Jesus Christ and the might of God standing with them. That's why they did it. So when the fear comes, we straight into the Lord.
Look at the disciple that jumped
straight
out of the boat.
Straight into the Lord.
If it's you, Lord, call me and I will come to you. He jumped out of the boat. Christ is calling. Christ was calling. Christ is always calling. So we jump out in faith, but when we land on the water and we start to walk, I'm going to operate in faith or fear. There's a great classic scripture where the disciple took his eyes off of Jesus. He looked at the storm. He didn't sink in faith. He sank in fear.
So you brought up a great point there. If you take your eyes off Jesus and put your eyes on the natural.
On the storm, on the weather system, on the world, kingdom.
On the little bits and pieces that are going on in your family. On the little foxes that are happening every single day in your life. These things will drag you off that path. You know, what we've said time and time again in these podcasts, grab hold of some of these scriptures and speak them out loud over your life. Yeah,
that's right.
You know, Psalm 62, you know, sort of, you know.
Come on, Lord. I've got to get in the Word.
All these, Psalm 93, with Psalm 91, you've got them, we've got them all, haven't we? Do you know?
Every answer that I need to the biggest battle that we will face, you know, I know the battle belongs to the Lord, but the elements of life, the natural stuff that is around me, the environment, that is such a glorious text where that disciple jumped out and he looked at the environment and he took his eyes off of Jesus. Let me encourage you and Simon this morning as we encourage you this afternoon, this evening, wherever you are. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because as soon as you jump out of the boat, as soon as you jump out and you start walking to Jesus, the seas will roar, the waves will rage against your house. You will take your eyes. If you take your eyes, now it's easy to take our eyes off of Jesus. It really is. It really is. It's easy to take your eyes off of Jesus.
Totally.
It's easy. It's harder to switch on to Jesus. It's harder to focus on Jesus. But Hebrews chapter 12 says, keep your eyes on Jesus.
If you're not in the Word, if you're not looking at the Word, if you're not got Psalms and if you've not got scriptures on your heart, then it's very easy to. But so much in the Bible tells, look, Psalm 27, you know, I'll just look at it. Look, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Yeah, whom shall I be afraid?
The Lord is my strength and my life. Whom shall I be afraid?
Come on, Lord.
When the wicked come against me and eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumble and fall through an army may encamp against me. My heart shall not fear, though a war may rise against me. In this I will be confident.
Yeah.
Where does my hope come from? I look my eyes up to the hills. Where does my hope come from?
Comes from Jesus. Hebrews chapter 12. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Now, just because I am a believer, I could sink in fear, but that's not my destiny. Because when I sink, what happened to that disciple? It says, Christ stretched out his hand and he caught him in his fears. He caught him and he said, why are you doubting? What are you afraid of? I'm with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you are a believer and you know that your Redeemer lives, don't allow the worry that you are worrying about drive you. Try and find a way through the Word of God. Just pause a moment wherever you are and just sit and be still and know that your Redeemer lives. Be still and know that I am God. Fear is what the enemy has. He only has that. He only has that. He cannot snatch you out of salvation. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But fear is a liar. You are called. You are a child of the living God. You are blessed. Fear, the enemy will tell you, you belong to me. You're no good. You're this, you're that. You're never going to achieve. Fear is a liar. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords loves you beyond your human understanding. And our God, your God, the God of Israel, is calling you today. Come to me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
Rest will drive out fear.
Yeah.
Peace of our Father will drive out fear. Look at that scripture, you know, perfect love drives out all fear.
Totally.
You know?
Perfect love. Yeah,
perfect love. Where do I get perfect love? John 3:16. For God so loved the world. But as the believer, faith and fear run together. The wheat and the tare, they grow close together. And it's very difficult sometimes to remove yourself from a very fearful moment. If you suffer with anxiety, if you suffer with night sleep disorders, if you the enemy uses tiredness, he uses fear, he uses the media, he uses human beings to drive the nail of fear. But you are free, who the sun sets free.
Ben, you're so right, because in the book of Daniel, he says he will wear out the saints.
He will wear them out.
Yeah.
Now, this comes down to calling. Can I just mention this a moment? This is critical for leaders.
Yeah.
There are many leaders that are absolutely burnt out, broken, smashed down, because they are leading when they shouldn't be leading.
Or they're leading by themselves and not got a team around them to help them.
Have you been called to that pulpit? Have you been called to the men's ministry? Have you been called to the women's ministry? Have you been called to the youth ministry? Have you been called to be the preacher? Have you been called to be the worship leader? You've got to know who your calling is, because God will not allow you to be worn out in his calling. The devil will wear you out with church activity. The devil is clever of running you ragged. The devil is clever of getting you to anticipate, we've got to build this church, we've got to build this ministry, we.
And
the devil will fuel it with money.
Yeah, we're getting a little bit drawn off track, but it's important things to say here, because, you know, many church leaders do not spend time with God.
No.
Alone with God. No. Church leaders don't even spend time in their Bible.
No.
They'll go to sermons online, grab a sermon from there and spout it out over a Sunday, but they won't spend time with God. But God wants to give you rest. You know, look, Psalm 62, you know, my soul finds rest in you alone. You alone are my rock, my salvation, my fortress. In you I shall not be shaken.
Christ will build his church, Simon. He's in charge of the church. He's in charge of the pulpit. He's in charge of the ministry. God will build the church. But what Lucifer does, he spins that lie. You've got to get X amount of pounds in the bank to keep this church moving. You've got to do this. We've got to do that. He uses. So from the world to the church, from the church to the world, Lucifer is the father of lies. And he will lie to you if you're a leader. He will lie to you if you are whoever you are. He will use that. But you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I would suggest, if you're a church leader, saturate yourself in the Word of God.
Ben, what good is a worn-out church leader, and what good is a worn-out Christian? They're no good. How can the light shine out of you? It's like a phone without a charge.
It's no good.
It's no good.
It looks good. It's got no power. You can't use it.
So what you do, you know... So be very careful, Ben. You mentioned a few things there about the enemy telling you that you're no good or whatever, and there's a fear that fear is a root of rejection.
Yeah,
and that is a massive thing in men and women.
It is the
root of rejection, and that can come at a very early age if your parents have split up.
Yeah.
There's a real rejection. You feel you're rejected. I remember speaking to a fellow who was on the circuit with the testimony circuit, but always seeking validation. And I sat down and spoke with him, and he said, He said, you know, he said, my father left me when I was 7 years old. Okay. He said, and what happened was, he said, he was asleep on the couch. I was only seven. I burst a balloon and it shocked him. It woke him up and he shouted at me. He said, and that evening, my mum and him had a row and he left. And I've always thought that it was my fault.
My fault, yeah.
And how the enemy works. He at a young that. Age, he's
he plants that in there.
So everything... from that point, you know, he might not have been selected. He might have been the last to be selected in for football or whatever. But it's all rejection. And that rejection has a fruit.
It has a fruit and it manifests. And I'll come back to church leaders. They're frightened of failure.
Yes, there's a fear of failure.
There's not 50 people in the building this week. There's not no more... What am I doing? You know, God will build his church. God is in charge, whether you've been rejected, however you feel, or whatever circumstances you've been through your life. Christ is not rejecting. Christ does not reject anyone. He draws you in.
Well, we've got, Ben, there is so many scriptures in the New Testament that tells you that you're a child of God.
You are
a child of God.
You're a child.
And you've got sonship. And
you are co-heir. You are joint. You are grafted in.
So look, I've seen this happen. I've seen this come out in men's meetings where we've dealt with a lot of this. But right from the word go, people will remember words that have said over them. And you've got to be careful how you speak to your children. And but if you're out there and in your life somebody's told you you're no good, you're never going to achieve anything, it may have been from a teacher or... You can be...
A church leader.
I'll tell you, 1,000,000 may be a church leader. 1,000,000% that's not from God, because God looks at you as his divine creation.
Yeah.
There may be a few things wrong that you're doing in your life, but God looks at you and you are a child of the living God.
That's right.
If you've given your life to Jesus, you don't have to live in that fear of in that rejection type environment. This look, 1 Peter 2:4, 2 Corinthians 12:9, 1 John 5. They all tell you, Romans 8:15. They all tell you that you're a son and a child of the living God. And if you spend a few moments out there, I don't know where you are. If you're struggling with this, I know it's a massive thing for a lot of people. If you're struggling, just spend a few moments speaking to the Lord and saying, Lord, you know, what do you think of me? And the Lord's not, we've said it before, the Lord's not going to say, you're no good, you'll never make it. The Lord's going to say, you are a warrior.
You are my son, you are my daughter.
You're my son, you're my daughter.
I sent my son to die upon a cross for you, so that you would have hope, you would have life, you would have abundance.
Look at that.
You will live in the promise, you will live in truth, you will live in your destiny. But Lord, I've been rejected by the world. And Jesus says, the world rejected me. There's no room at the inn.
And there's a big one, Ben, isn't it?
It's enormous.
See, rejection. I'm so pleased you brought that up, because right now, you either swim...
You swim with them.
With them.
Or you swim against them.
And the Lord's calling a remnant to stand up and be that salmon swimming up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's tough. Yes, I think
what Simon is hit a real, God has really brought Simon to this place for us to talk about rejection. And we see a clear rejection by the innkeeper. There's no room at the inn. Christ's family, mum and dad, were rejected. Rejection happens in many ways, shapes and form.
Totally.
So when you look at the scripture, Christ was rejected from the point of birth. There's no room. You are not welcome. We have no room. There's no room at the inn. And that is a very prophetic line. That is a very powerful line. There is no room at the inn. Now, when you look at that now, that is the same for Christ and his family at that point as it is for us now. There is no room for Christianity in education. There's no room at the inn. There's no room for Christianity in the workplace. There's no room. So if you are a Christian a Bible-believing Christian, even in some churches, there's no room for Jesus. There's no room in the inn.
Building years ago.
Jesus has left the building.
There's no room for Jesus in the inn. In mainstream media.
There's no room for Jesus. So Simon has made a very interesting point of the word rejection. When you see how Christ was rejected and how many times he was rejected, how many times he was come against. He was against, but you never see Christ reacting in a way where he fought that. The only place we see that is where Christ turned the tables over. But rejection is all the way through the Bible. It's all the way through.
And isn't it interesting if you read all these amazing men and women?
Yeah.
They've all been, at some point,
rejected.
And what has God done when they've stayed on the course?
Yeah.
He's flipped it.
What the enemy meant for harm, God will turn for good.
Look at Esther. Look at Mordecai.
Yes.
Look at these great Haman's characters. Wipe them out.
Mm.
Wipe out the whole Israelite race. He got it in plans. He'd even built a gallows, hadn't he?
Yeah.
So God took him right to that point. And Mordecai appealed to Esther, and Esther hadn't been with the king for 30 days. So she was going to be, and Mordecai said to her, "Don't think you're going to escape. You're a Jewess too. You're going to come on, you know." So she forced her hand.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the king offered her. And what happened? Haman was hung on his own gallows.
It's amazing.
Oh, he flicks it round.
What the enemy meant.
Yeah.
What the enemy wants to do
is
to bring rejection. God will turn for good. The enemy is driving. He is the father of lies. And the world is telling you, if you are a believer, there's no room at the inn. There's no room for Jesus here. Look at those that sold Christ. 30 pieces of silver. Where did the silver come from? Did it come from the Romans? No, the silver came from the priests. There's no room for Jesus.
No room for Jesus at all.
So there's a rejective spirit at work, and that is the father of lies.
Yeah.
Fear is a liar. Fear is telling you you're no good. Fear, he is the father of lies. He drives the arrow of rejection, but you are not rejected because the father's arms are always open.
Amen to that, Ben. Yeah.
The father's arms.
And there's a situation right now for this generation.
Mm.
It's called FOMO, right? It's the fear of missing out.
Yeah.
The fear of missing out. So that's driven by social media.
Yeah.
And so there's little girls, little boys on their phones who cannot even eat their dinner without putting down because they're frightened of missing out.
There's
a fear of rejection. So when they go back to school, they'll be bullied because, didn't you see, aren't you in? No.
You're not in this club. You're not in this club. No room at the inn.
Oh, it's so hard for these young people these days, isn't it?
And social media is a very dangerous place to be if you are relying on the likes and all the following and all that, because, you know, human beings just want that love. They want that oneness. They want that connection. But social media won't give you that. The father of truth. There is a father of lies and there is a father of truth.
You imagine, Ben, being a young person standing up for Christ these days.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Because he's not being taught in schools.
No.
God's not there. No. So, you know.
Where is it? There's no room at the inn.
There's no room at the
inn. So, over the generations, it has been swept out of everything of society. It's very thin, isn't it? When you really analyse, there is no room at the inn. There's no room in this world for Jesus.
Well,
there's no room. There's no room.
There's no God in government. There's no God in education anymore. There's no God anywhere. He's been driven out.
As he left Solomon's temple, when the leaders of them tribes came in and started doing their own agenda, the presence of God left. With the cherubims, with the angels, they went out the east gate, his presence left.
And it says the enemy in the latter days will come in like a flood.
Mm.
He's coming in like a tsunami.
Yeah.
He's coming in like a tsunami to wash away.
But to steal, kill and destroy.
What are we left with? We're left with the word of God, Ben. So praise God, we're still hanging on to that. And if you're a young person out there,
hold on to the word of God.
Look, let's just... I'm just
going
to read. Yeah, never give
up. Keep going. We're all right.
Romans 8:15 says this. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father." Amen.
See, Simon said that word because the word said it, Abba, Father.
Yeah.
It comes back to the Father.
Comes back to the Father.
There are two, shall I use the word terminology, spiritual fathers. There's the Father of lies and there's the Father of truth. The Father of truth, his arms are open. There is no rejection. There is no rejection in Christ Jesus. There is no rejection in the Word of God. But what the Word of God will do, it will challenge me and it will bring me to repentance. And that's not rejection. That is healing.
That's acceptance.
That's acceptance.
It's not repentance. It's not, it's acceptance.
You and have to look at that.
Let me tell you, my friends, if you're listening out there, Ben is absolutely 100% right, because when you fall into the arms of the Father, you follow Jesus to the Father. You don't want to leave those arms.
No.
Whatever you do, you want that scripture, you know, you'll never leave me or forsake me. You want that with you. And remember, wherever you are, now, as we're coming into land, we didn't get time to do everything we did today because the 45 minutes is yet again
gone.
Flown by, Ben. But remember, my friends out there, remember all those scriptures. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 is massive.
So much.
You didn't receive a spirit of fear, but you received a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
And trust in the Lord before you.
Never give up. Never give up.
So hold on. Hold on to the line. Hold on. And if you've got no one, you've got everyone in Jesus Christ.
He's the King. He's worthy of all praise. The devil is the father of lies.
Amen, Ben.
Fear is a liar. Fear is a liar. The devil is defeated and you are a child of the living God. Never give up. We just want to say thank you so much for joining us today here at hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Simon has brought it to the table today and we've heard the power of God speaking through him. And we thank God for Simon and we thank God for everyone on the other side of our voice today. And may God strengthen you and bless you in every way. Remember, we have come out straight out of hashtag Christian Straight Talk, straight out of the barrel of truth. Hold on to the word of God. The devil is a liar. His life, his entities and his agents are finished. We are in the last days. God is moving by his power. You know, brothers and sisters, wherever you are today, never give up. Hold on to the word of God. We thank you so much for joining us here at hashtag Christian Straight Talk. Never give up. The devil is a liar. But the word of God is sound and true. God bless.